around the world. The Spirit is moving and a voice is being heard. Welcome to the Voice of Evangelism with David Langford. You can write to the Voice of Evangelism at P.O. Box 502, Kayser, North Carolina, 28020. We'll give you that address again at the close of today's broadcast. But here now is David Langford.
Hello, friends. David Langford here today. We'd like to welcome you to the Voice of Evangelism International Ministries. Today is Tuesday. I certainly hope and I pray that yesterday we were able to encourage many of you as you listen to the broadcast. We come here each week, twice a week, and we try to share with you from what God lays upon our heart, and we trust that it ministers to you and to your every need. And let me say, first of all today, thank you so very much for your love, your prayers, and financial support for the ministry. As most of you know, we do not ask for money. We do have a place for you to give, to contribute, but we will not ask. We believe if you're ministered to by the Holy Spirit of God, that you'll feel an unction and you'll feel compelled to support the work of God. I'm not in this for money, fame, or fortune. I'm in this because God called me into the ministry. I didn't choose this as a vocation. It was not something that I meditated, contemplated, etc. Because if you know my testimony, I ran from God. I did not want to be a preacher. I knew when you become a minister, you lose your life. Whatever you aspire to accomplish, whatever you willed, whatever you desire to fulfill, that is all null and void when God chooses anyone to his office of ministry. But it's the greatest blessing and calling that anyone could ever have. I was not voted on. I was not elected democratically, but theocratically, meaning God called me himself. I want to play a beautiful song today by Tim Hill. He is presently the general overseer of the Church of God. I've known Tim for probably 40 years or so. We were both evangelists when we were young in the ministry, working in the field as itinerant evangelists. And he's singing a song here today in the midst of it all. If I recall, he wrote this song. I pray that it will minister to your heart and life today in the midst of it.
What have you done to deserve all this? Curse God and die. What advice for a man who had trusted God most of his life? But then Job speaks as he stands among his broken down domain. In the midst of it all, I shall stand and not fall and bless his name. In the midst of it all, in the midst of it all, I found hope that will never let me fall. Jesus, turn. Should the day ever come when everyone bows their heads to Christ, and when man has done all that man can do, and I'm left alone to die. Well, even then, when I'm surrounded by affliction's greatest pain, in the midst of it all, I shall stand and not fall.
We stand complete in the midst of it all. How do we stand complete? Through the finished work of Christ. He finished it. It's totality. There's nothing left to do except believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and his vicarious, efficacious work, efficacy. Meaning the desired effect. You'll hear that term in the medical field, efficacy. What is the desired effect when you take this drug? What's the prognosis? What will this do? Efficacy. Praise God. The efficacy, the desired effect of the cross is more than anyone could ever imagine in 1,000 years. I want to go today, we're going to begin in chapter 23 of 2 Kings. We went through the 22nd chapter. I think we did about 20 or 21 programs on chapter 22. We're going to go now into chapter 23. We're going to witness as Josiah begins to implement the reforms that God had laid on his heart. But before I do that, I want to hold up this DVD-CD combo, the year 2023. Also included with this is the prophecy the Lord gave me back in 2010 about an earthquake that would be immeasurable. You cannot measure the enormity of the earthquake that will hit America. I do not say that with joy. I say that as a mere warning. But several weeks ago, we aired repeatedly on Christian Television Network, our TV ministry, also on World Harvest Television. We aired the things we felt God has laid on our heart for 2023. The economy, famine, and earthquakes. And we have all that on DVD and CD. This combo has both the DVD and the CD, so that you'll have the audio or the visual part of it, whichever one you want. And for a love gift of $20, we're making that available to whosoever will. And also we'll put in there with that the prophecy the Lord gave me back in 2010. An immeasurable earthquake, you cannot measure it on the Richter scale, will hit America. I don't say that with joy. I say that with grief. But after the great earthquake in Haiti, which killed over 250,000 people, as I was watching how they were taking the bodies to a landfill and dumping the corpse out into huge holes that they had dug, bulldozed out huge holes in the earth, trenches, and they dumped the carcasses in there by the tens of thousands and covered them up. No prayers, no funeral, no benediction, no nothing because of the enormity of it. And God said, that will come to America. The same thing will come to America. I don't know when, but I do know America is a very vile and wicked nation. Whatever punishment God metes out, it is well deserved according to our sins. So if you'd like a copy of the DVD and CD, it's a one combo deal. The DVD will be in there with the three TV programs and CD with the audio, along with the newsletter that we sent out, I think it was February of 2010, over 13 years ago. God has been gracious to warn us, but sadly few are taking heed to the warnings of God. 2 Kings chapter 23, beginning at verse 1, and the king Josiah sent, and they gathered unto him all the elders of Judah and of Jerusalem. And the king went up into the house of the Lord, and all the men of Judah, and all the inhabitants of Jerusalem with him. And the priests and the prophets and all the people, both small and great, and he read in their ears all the words of the book of the covenant, which was found in the house of the Lord. I'll stop right there today. As we begin the second portion of this teaching, Rediscovering the Word of God, we will witness the great reforms that Josiah hastily instituted because of his divine encounter with the Word of Almighty God, coupled with the personal prophecy that was given to him from the prophetess Huldah. They had read, they had shared the Pentateuch. They had read from the Word of God. We don't know if they read the entire Pentateuch to Josiah, but no doubt he heard from Deuteronomy chapter 28 and Leviticus chapters 26, 27, and 28 that spoke of the coming judgment when Israel disobeyed God. The very thing that Josiah did here in verse 1 needs to happen in the modern church world and throughout America. There needs to be a holy convocation, and it needs to be called immediately. The message and the declaration that should be made should be about repentance and getting right with Almighty God. There needs to be a holy convocation, a holy gathering of all so-called spiritual leaders and elders everywhere. This should be synonymous with the entirety of the church, the body of Christ. Any man that is worth the salt in his bread should be pleading with America and around the world for repentance. Every God-called person that God has touched for his service should be crying aloud everywhere for repentance and getting right with God. There needs to be a collective gathering. We all have the same Bible. Yes, there are different versions, but the Word of God is the same. Malachi 3:6, I am the Lord, and I change not. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 8, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. God does not change. And God right now, through the Holy Spirit, is demanding around the world repentance on a world scale. There needs to be national repentance in every nation in the world. Jesus, before he left and ascended back to the Father, he gave a great commandment. He gave a great commandment in Luke chapter 24, and that commandment is still relevant today. The message is still relevant today. The message has not changed, and if we believe in the Word of God, if we believe the words of Jesus Christ, if we believe in what he has said and commanded us, then we should be doing it. But sadly, many today don't believe God and they don't believe his word. These flippant, shallow, limp-wristed preachers who won't say anything about sin, who dare not speak of wickedness, who dare not preach repentance, are going to stand before a holy God, and God is going to judge them because they refused to preach what he commanded that they preach. Luke 24:45 says this, then opened he their understanding that they might understand the scriptures. Your understanding needs to be open that you might know what is the plan, the will of God in this hour. Verse 46, and said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behooved, it was necessary, Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day. Watch this in verse 47, 48, and 49. And that repentance and remission or forgiveness of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. The message is clear. The message is repentance. The message is the remission or the forgiveness of sins. And it should be preached in his name. In other words, in Jesus' name, repent of your sins. In Jesus' name, repent and find remission or the forgiveness of your sins. And this preaching should first be established among the nations, but it will begin at Jerusalem. Think of that. The message is synonymous. The message is the same. Repentance and remission of sins, it must first begin in Jerusalem and then go out to all the nations of the earth. Verse 48, and ye are witnesses of these things. Jesus is telling the disciples, this is right after his resurrection. He's been on the earth now for 40 days after the resurrection. He's about to make his ascension and go back to the Father and sit at the right hand of the throne of God. He said, you are witnesses of these things. You have seen me die, crucified, placed in a tomb, and rise again the third day. Then he says in verse 49, Luke 24:49, "And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon ye, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high." You know why men can't preach today? They have no Holy Ghost power. I said they have no Pentecostal Holy Ghost power, and thus they won't preach repentance and the remission of sins. But he said to his disciples, "Tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high." And the Holy Ghost is the impetus. He's the power behind the preaching of repentance and remission of sins. I hope I don't trivialize and lessen the power of the message of repentance. So many ministries and ministers today won't say one word about repentance. But Jesus told Nicodemus in John 3:3, "Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." You have to be washed in the blood of Jesus Christ. If you ever expect to see the kingdom of God, enter into the kingdom of God and have eternal life abiding in you. It is impossible without repentance. Hebrews 9:22. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission or forgiveness of sin. Jesus had to die that men could then repent and find forgiveness of their sins. Josiah has this divine encounter with God because of the Word of God. This is why I bring to you each week, as best I know how, a message from the Word of God. It is the power in the Word that leads men to repentance. It is the convicting power in the Word of God that causes men to turn from their deeds, their wickedness, their evil ways, and look to God as Redeemer. Josiah is so overwhelmed by the Holy Spirit of God when he heard the Word of God, he knew there must be repentance and there must be reform. There must be reformation in Israel/Judah. It must be. Mustn't it be reform in America? Shouldn't there be restoration and reformation in America today? Collectively, all over the world, everyone who claims to be a God-called minister should be preaching repentance. This is why I say I can tell a lot about a man's life by what he preaches. If he never says anything about sin, put a check by his name. There's something wrong with him. When you get into the presence of a holy God, he reveals, he makes you aware of things that are wrong in your life and says, "You got to get that right." No, he's not a hard taskmaster. He's not walking around with a 2x4 to beat you into subjection. But when you get in his presence, you realize the awesomeness of who he is and how you need to get right with him, that you might hear him say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." If we had a truly God-fearing president in America, he would make a godly declaration for revival and reformation if he were truly a godly man. But they curse like sailors. They know not the way of the Lord. Does anyone actually think that Joe Biden would call for a holy convocation, for a holy and solemn assembly? Does anybody really think he would do that? Preachers who stand in pulpits every Sunday fail to do that. And the enormity of the Mount of Blood that is going to be on the hands of many is immeasurable. To whom much is given, much is required. The greater any platform that anyone has, the greater the demand to preach repentance, to preach righteousness, and to preach the coming judgment of Almighty God. And that, my friend, we do not hear today. In Acts chapter 24, when Paul the Apostle stood before Felix and Drusilla, the Bible said he preached righteousness, temperance, and the judgment of God. That's what he preached. Righteousness. He preached, Felix, Drusilla, you are demanded of God to do the right thing. He preached temperance. You need to crucify your flesh and get out of this adulterous relationship because it is not of God. And in closing, he preached the judgment of God. You will stand before God and give an account, Paul said to Felix and Drusilla. But Felix said, go your way, Paul, at a more convenient time, but not today. Some historians believe that Felix died the death of suicide. Nevertheless, he'll stand in the hall, the courts of God, and God will say, you heard the message of righteousness. You heard the message of temperance. You heard the message of my coming judgment. But you shunned it. You didn't care about it. But the gospel is the way of salvation for all men. Verse 2, and the king went up into the house of the Lord, and all the men of Judah and all the inhabitants of Jerusalem with him, and the priests and the prophets and all the people, both small and great. And he read in their ears all the words of the book of the covenant, which was found in the house of God. Josiah read the word of the Lord, the covenant of God. He read about his testimonies, his statutes, all the things that God had said in the Pentateuch. Josiah was now rehearsing the words of the book of the covenant, which was found in the house of the Lord. After Josiah received his word of prophecy from the prophetess Huldah, he went straight to the temple of God to meet with the elders he had summoned. He met with the priest. He met with the prophets and all the people, both small and great. This shows he had a heart for his people as well as the nation in general. Do you think the leaders and the pulpiteers of America have a heart for the nation in general as a whole? Do you think these men who have lordship, power, and authority in the earth really care about the people, the nation, and its ultimate destiny? 2 Samuel 23:3, he that ruleth over men must be just, ruling in the fear of the Lord. You and I both know we don't have just men ruling in the fear of the Lord in America. They're liars, they're cheat, they're hypocrites, they're two-faced. I can't say it anymore. Wish I could say it better than what I'm saying it. He that ruleth over men must be just, ruling in the fear of God. 2 Samuel 23, verse 3. He that ruleth over men must be just. That word just always means righteous. Ruling in the fear of God. Men that have a genuine fear of God will not rule in a manner of wickedness. They rule in a manner of righteousness. Josiah had a general care. He had a general concern from everyone because he demonstrated he was a God-fearing man. There was no deals with China. There were no lobbyists in his life and in the temple of God. They may have been there, but Josiah was not going to participate in any of that corruption because he was convicted by the word of God when he heard it. One of the greatest things that a man that claims to be an authority or leadership is to read from the word of Almighty God, which had been found in the house of God. That's exactly what Josiah did. Shouldn't the word of God always be found in our houses of God? When you go into any church, there should be a great, great Holy Ghost proclamation of the word of the Lord, proclaiming the word of God without compromise. Well, you know the mayor's coming next Sunday, Pastor, so you need to kind of water it down because we don't want to offend the mayor. Yeah, you know she's a lesbian. And God forbid that you preach against homosexuality and same-sex marriage. So when she comes, don't say anything about that subject. Just give her a pass. Don't proclaim the word of God without compromise. Water it down. Pollute it. Dilute it. Make it palatable for her when she comes in with her lesbian paramour. Make it comfortable. Josiah did not do that. Josiah was the king. How many did he offend? How many did he insult? How many did he encroach, impinge when he stood in the temple, the house of God, and proclaimed from the word of Almighty God? Josiah had rediscovered the power of God's most holy word. America, 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 and the church needs to rediscover God's word again. We ought to get back to principles. I'm so sick and tired of all of the woke garbage. The United States Army cannot fill their recruitment needs. And you know, I wouldn't join the army either. To think you go and you join a fighting force and they want to teach you about sodomy, homosexuality, using the right pronoun, using the correct gender. They're only male and female. That's all there is. And don't let anybody tell you anything different. Don't let them put this garbage in your brain. These people do not know God, nor do they know the way of God. Why would a robust 18-year-old young man want to go and join an institution that wants to teach him perversion when he says, hey, I'm ready to go fight for my country, and you want to teach me this filth, this garbage, this degradation? That's why they can't fill their needs, their recruitment needs. Think about World War II and all the stories. You've all heard them. You've read about them. Young men, 15, 16, 17 years old, who lied to join the army to go and fight for America. Lied. They weren't old enough to go to war. They weren't old enough to go fight. But they lied. They said, no, yes, I am. And now this flippant, weak, anemic, fragile generation wants to be padded, pampered, and protected about everything. Let me say this. Anytime somebody misgenders you, you got issues, pal. They misgendered me. Well, look like a man or look like a woman and don't look like an idiot. And you won't get misgendered. That's the most stupid thing I've ever heard in my life. They misgendered me. I've never misgendered a bull in my life. Never misgendered a bull in my life. I can just look at his neck and tell you that's a bull with all the mass muscle that's up there on top of his neck. I don't misgender them. They misgendered me. Well, if you was a man or a genuine woman, there wouldn't be no opportunity to be misgendered. Can you imagine? I would be insulted if someone, I was standing in line to be served for whatever purpose and said, ma'am, what can we do for you today? This is the asininity that's come to this nation. Verse 3, and the king stood by a pillar and made a covenant before the Lord to walk after the Lord and to keep his commandments and his testimonies and his statutes with all their heart and all their soul, to perform the words of this covenant that were written in this book. And all the people stood to the covenant. Standing by the pillar of the temple was a common thing that was did when they're making a decree, they're making a proclamation. Second Kings chapter 11, verses 13 and 14 says, and when Adaliah heard the noise of the guard and of the people, she came to the people and to the temple of the Lord. And when she looked, behold, the king stood by the pillar, as was the manner. And the princes of the trumpeters by the king, and all the people of the land rejoiced and blew with trumpets. They're making a declaration. They're making a proclamation. Everybody now has come to the temple. Everyone has come to the house of God. It is a holy convocation. So the king, Josiah, stands by a pillar, and he made a covenant. He made a vow. He made a commitment before the Lord. And what was that? To walk after the Lord, to keep his commandments and his testimonies and his statutes. How? With all their heart and with all their soul. And to perform, to execute, to obey, to do the words of this covenant that were written in this book. And all the people stood to the covenant. They were in agreement with what the king was decreeing. Standing by the pillar speaks of a place of authority and could also symbolize both the word of God and the presence of God, like the pillar of fire and the Exodus, and as a pillar in the temple of God. Remember Revelation 3:12, he that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of my God. Do we live godly enough that God can make us a pillar in the temple of God? Are we consecrated? Are we dedicated? Are we separated? Are we living godly enough lives to be made a pillar in the temple of God? You see, the pillar cannot be full of rot. The pillar cannot be full of decay and ruin. It cannot be poorly designed. It cannot be contaminated. It's got to be pure, that it might be a pillar in the temple of God. Huge colonnades are what they're actually called in the Old Testament, colonnades. First thing that Josiah does, he makes the commitment to walk after the Lord. He wanted to follow God with all of his heart, with all of his soul, and with all of his might. I wonder how many today are desirous to walk with God in that manner. David said in Psalm 63, verse 8, my soul followeth hard after thee, thy right hand upholdeth me. Are you following hard after the Lord? Are you a God chaser? Have you laid aside every weight and every sin? And are you pursuing Jesus Christ like none other? Is this where your affection, is this where your love, is this where your heart is? Psalms 119, 133 says, order my steps in thy word that no iniquity have dominion over me. Don't think for a minute sin will not seek to have authority, dominion, or lordship over your life. That's what's happened to the church. The modern church is full of sin. The church is full of filth. The church is full of degradation. The church is full of liars and dishonest leaders and perverts and perversity and money grubbing, hungry people who want things for themselves and don't care about the souls of men. Josiah said, I'm going to keep the commandments of the Lord. I'm going to keep his testimonies. And I'm going to observe his statutes. I'm going to observe everything I read in the Word of God. And I'm going to do it with all of my heart and with all of my soul. Remember Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 5? Jesus quoted that to the devil in Matthew 4. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all of thy heart, with all of thy soul, and with all of thy might. This is how we follow God. We're not lackadaisical. We're not haphazard. We're not indifferent. We are not tepid. We're not lukewarm. But we are on fire for God. You know, Jeremiah, what a beautiful, beautiful example. He said his word was burning like fire. It was shut up, burning in my heart. It was like fire shut up in my bones. The word of God was burning feverishly in my heart. You might say that's what happened to Josiah. The word of God was burning in his heart. In his heart. It was burning. You see, when the word of God is in you, it will burn. The word of God is like fire. It consumes everywhere it goes. It consumes the chaff. It consumes the lost if they want to get saved. It'll also consume them relative to destruction if they don't repent. Josiah fell in love with God. If we would fall in love with God again, we would see reformation. We would see restoration. He and the people committed to perform or to execute the words of the covenant that was in the Pentateuch. The word perform here means to take immediate action. They took immediate action. Verse 3, 2 Kings 23:3, and the king stood by a pillar and made a covenant before the Lord to walk after the Lord and to keep his commandments and his testimonies and his statutes with all their heart and all their soul, to perform, to take immediate action concerning the words of this covenant that were written in this book. And all the people stood or embraced the covenant. They said, yes, this is what we will do. I was always taught you lead by example. You lead by example. You don't beat people into submission. You just walk it. You just walk in the word of the Lord. Yes, my job is to proclaim the word of God without compromise, but we are to walk in the word of the Lord. We are to adhere to the word of God. And so the king, see, that's the power of a king. He took this upon himself because of his encounter with God through the word of God. And the people, you might say, got on the bandwagon. How imperative is it that America take immediate action relative to repentance? How How important is there a need for America to take immediate action and to perform the word of the Lord immediately, not tomorrow, not next week, not next year, but now? I keep thinking about the general in the Air Force who said, my gut tells me we will be in war with China in the next 2 years, admonishing his subordinates to take headshots, and they're practicing shooting their firearms, their handheld weapons. Take headshots, he said. That means certain death if you get hit in the head with a bullet. Even, and I don't know the man's walk with God. He may be a Christian. He may not be a Christian. I don't know what he is in that sense. But he has enough wisdom, enough insight, and enough understanding to know we are a troubled nation. And I read 40 years ago, everything is cyclic. They said the sun never set on England because they have all of these outreaches in the earth, colonies all over the world. So the sun never set on England. England went into a demise and America rose up. And the man I read, I forget his name off the top of my head, but he said, in the end, it will arise over in the Far East. The dragon, China, is rising. You see, these leaders are atheistic. They don't believe in the Lord God of Abraham. They have a warped mentality. They have a warped mind and a world view. There's such fear in all the small nations like the Philippines and Japan and Taiwan and South Korea of what China will do, and they're ready to die and fight to save their nations. There's trouble coming. Proverbs 27:12, a wise man foresees trouble coming and takes refuge, but the simple pass on and are punished. That word punished in the Hebrew means they suffer. They suffer because they did not make the right arrangements. Josiah heard the word of God. He said, we've got to make changes now. We've got to make changes immediately. We are ripe for divine judgment from God Almighty. But because he rent his garment, he rent his heart, he hearkened to the word of the Lord. Huldah, the prophetess, gave him a very positive, positive prophecy. God will not execute this evil, this judgment, until you're dead and gone. But once you're dead and gone, the judgment's coming. And I thought, in spite of the reformations, and we're going to get into all the reformations that Josiah brought to fruition, it was just for a parenthetical time, and it concerns me that God is a God of pattern. He gave Moses the pattern concerning the heavenly tabernacle. Of course, it was crude. It was nothing like what's in heaven, but he made something that was a facsimile, a similitude, an adumbration, a likeness. That's what Moses made. So he gave Moses the pattern, according to Hebrews 8. God is the God of pattern. Are we about to witness a measure of revival in America? I pray to God there will be reformation. I pray there will be reform in America. But my concern is, even though Josiah brought about reformation in Israel and Judah, it did not last, because after Josiah died, God brought judgment on Israel. When you go back and you read from this point in 2 Kings 23 and you go on and 1 and 2 Chronicles and you study what all happened, sadly, the people Many of them backslid. They went back to their old ways. Why? They got a reprieve. Donald Trump was a reprieve in America. Everybody enjoyed the prosperity. Everyone enjoyed the blessings of the Lord. But you didn't hardly see any repentance whatsoever when Donald Trump was in office. Oh, it's like the prosperity preachers. Bless me, bless me, bless me, bless me. My God. Biden, Joe Biden is a curse. He's a scab. He's a stench on this nation. Many believe that Obama is pulling the strings behind the scene. I would not doubt that at all, him and Valerie Jarrett. I wouldn't doubt that for the least bit. But because of sin, I can't overly emphasize the need to realize it is sin that is bringing this destruction and this ruin and this chaos in America. We have a department called the Department of Justice. It needs to be renamed the Department of Injustice. Federal Bureau of Insanity. That's how they need to rename the FBI. Folks, everything has been tainted and sullied and soiled by sin. And when David said there in 2 Samuel 23:3, he that ruleth over men must be just, ruling in the fear of God. If I remember correctly, Jill Biden left her husband to go to Joe Biden. She was working in his campaign early on when he was campaigning to be a senator. I'd encourage you to do the research and look it up yourself. See, at the end of the day, this thing is rotten. It is rotten, rotten, rotten. And it's hard to have any faith, any confidence in the leadership. A whistleblower ratted out Chris Rabe the other day. How he doesn't want to sit in traffic, so he uses the Gulfstream 550 to fly in and out of Washington. He would have to, if he drove it or was driven, it'd be about 40 minutes. He does this by 15 minutes. They abuse everything. You and I are the most abused people in a government. You have to know when the purported consensus is 70%+ that America is on the wrong track. That ought to tell you right there, there's something wrong when it's neck and neck, 49.7% to 50.3%. Just that little minuscule of one percentage point. That shows you there's corruption. If over 7 out of 10 say it's wrong, why is it so close? Why can John Fetterman, and God have mercy on his soul, cannot communicate, cannot think, reason, rationalize, et cetera, and the Dr. Oz could not defeat him? Mitch McConnell says we're not putting forth great candidates. My God, stand up one man versus the other man. Look what the Democrats put up for a man and a candidate versus what Dr. Oz was. And McConnell, Mitch McConnell, has the audacity to say we're not putting up good men. This whole nation, the United States, is under delusion. And the sad thing is, in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 11 says this, "For God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but have pleasure in unrighteousness." That's America. That is America. And God said, I will send strong delusion that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who would not believe the truth. The truth is Jesus. The way is Jesus. Life is found in Jesus Christ, none other. Some people think I'm too hard. How in God's name can anybody think I preach too hard with the condition of America? How can anybody in their right mind, see, their mind is sullied and soiled with sin, and they see the pure, unadulterated truth as hate? I don't hate anybody. I pray for this nation. I pray for our leaders. I pray God save them. I pray for every denomination, every denominational leader, every organization. God, awaken us. Awaken us. You cannot be awakened until you move in the direction of the Lord Jesus Christ. Josiah was moved when he heard the profundity of the word of Almighty God and said, oh, my Lord, God is about to judge this place. Having heard the word of God, he knew how close they were to judgment. Don't we hear how close we are to judgment when we hear the scriptures trumpeted here in this hour? Do we not realize how near and nigh we are to a catastrophe, a cataclysmic event, something that will make 9/11 look like a picnic, a Boy Scout gathering? You see, you and I grapple to understand the profoundness of these things because we don't live in that world. You don't live in that world. I don't live in that world. We seek to live godly and holy lives in a perverse generation and wicked world. And we're supposed to let our light shine. I'm trying to be a siren. You remember some weeks ago I used the analogy of a siren? When people hear a siren, they pull over, they get out of the way. I said that while I was teaching. Then it came back to my spirit. I said, God, make me a siren that people will pull over and listen. They'll stop and ponder. They'll get out of the way of destruction and of going to hell and say, let me pause my life for a minute. Let me stop for a moment and search my heart and see what's in me. I said, God, make me a siren like Isaiah. Lift up thy voice like a trumpet. Make me a siren, God, where people will put on the brakes and stop and pull over and say, God, search me, O Lord. Know me. You know my heart anyway. God bless you. I'll see you Monday. Have a great, great weekend. Please pray and seek His face.
The Voice of Evangelism with David Langford is brought to you by the faithful listeners and supporters throughout America. If you're looking for an uncompromising message, we invite you to tune in each week to The Voice of Evangelism. For more information, write to The Voice of Evangelism at P.O. Box 502, Kayser, North Carolina, 28020. That's P.O. Box 502, Kayser, North Carolina, 28020.